This ain't no disco.
Ain't no country club neither.
This is the spooky season in RVA.
Happy Halloween month, everyone!
Yes, welcome to spooky season.
Wait, oh la la, in the dungeon!
Season 2,
episode 25.
Alright, what are we discussing on this episode, guys?
Well, it's all going to be Halloween related, so we're going to talk about this organ donation scandal going on. So creepy.
And you won't want to miss that.
Creepy.
Favorite Halloween traditions, what we're going to be dressing up as, and things that we've dressed up as in the past.
Oh, yes, yes. Big Daddy, you going to drop it on us, right? And this is going to be a series, I believe you said. Oh,
yes, on today's episode, Big Daddy is starting an extra special Richmond True Crime series until the end of October. The first installment will focus on the 2006 Richmond Spree murders.
We'll also have some ghost and vampire stories.
Ooh.
A poetry reading.
Yes.
Business of the week.
Yes. Band of the week.
And shout outs.
That's right.
Oh, and events too. Lots of Halloween events.
Lots of Halloween events. So y'all better listen to this whole episode. No skipping.
Yep. we're not interviewing anyone today. It's just us three in our dungeon.
Yeah. So sorry if you're disappointed. We mentioned that the leg warmers guest would be appearing, but that will be rescheduled for another episode.
Anyway, let's get into it.
Yeah, let's jump into this hot topic. And so today we're going to be discussing a kind of a grisly thing that happened. It's an organ donation controversy. And so the organization is called UNOS, and it's the United Network for Organ Sharing. It has been accused of harvesting organs from patients that were still alive.
Whoa.
And so UNOS is a national organization headquartered in Richmond, Virginia.
I didn't know this was in Richmond.
Yes, and so the Times Dispatch did a whole series on this. And the organization oversees the Organ Procurement and Transplant Network, which includes 56 organ procurement organizations and about 250 transplant hospitals. And so what is the controversy surrounding the organ transplants? Well, in 2021, a young man was brought to a hospital for a drug overdose and was declared brain dead, but it doesn't stop there.
It doesn't?
No. Zombie!
No, that would be kind of disappointing for a hot topic. The man awoke during a cardiac catheterization procedure in preparation for organ donation. Medical staff gave him a sedative and paralytic and returned him to the intensive care unit. Later, he woke up again, but a senior official of the organ recovery group directed that the organ recovery proceed and the man's movements were written off as reflexes. Staff wheeled the patient toward the operating room, a process known as, quote, the honor walk, where employees stand and honor the organ donor. On the operating table and fully conscious, the man cried, shook his head, and pulled at his breathing tube.
God.
The surgeon canceled the procedure and the patient was taken back to the ICU. 2 weeks later, the man was discharged from the hospital.
Was he walking? He was in a...
Yeah, so...
bad girl, bad.
After the three times that they tried to harvest the organs, an official with the organization looked for another surgeon to take the organs, but none would do that. And I think they made the right decision there since he was still alive.
Oh, thank God.
And so they've been having some hearings on this, and during a hearing, transplant experts explained that a patient might show signs of life or that... And so Representative Kelly Armstrong said, quote, it's like a bad Netflix movie, which I kind of agree.
I feel like they should. I'd watch it.
I would too. I've seen some, there was the Cabinet of Curiosities. I'm pretty sure.
Oh yeah, there was one like that.
They have talk about this, that it happened in one of the episodes.
And so the government is actually trying to do something. In 2023, a law was passed where it's going to, or it breaks up the UNOS monopoly. And also the government is looking in ways to prevent incidents like this from happening again. And
good.
I understand that if someone, like their body is shutting down, but you can keep them alive. So maybe like have a longer waiting period before you can officially
harvest
the organs. I think they're reviewing that procedure so that they won't harvest them when somebody's alive.
Yeah, but that is just insane that there were so many signs. And then even when the guy is obviously still alive, they're like, can you find some other surgeon who will possibly do this right now?
Yeah, and so the scary part, this has happened to other patients where they had reflexes on the operating table and they had to bring them back to ICU. So,
but like, if this happened, then it's probably happened before and they have like killed someone by doing this. Do you think?
Probably. I mean, this has probably been a reoccurring thing.
That's terrifying.
And what's interesting, and I mentioned this, they're headquartered in Richmond, Virginia, so.
Watch out, everyone.
But this surgery wasn't in Richmond, right?
Not that I know
of.
I
thought it said like somewhere in Ohio or something.
Okay, never mind. Don't watch out.
All right, so I think that wraps it up for our hot topic. All right, so what are some of your favorite Halloween traditions?
I always like going to a haunted house.
Me too. And lately, because I moved to Richmond 7 years ago, my tradition is coming over to Liz and Matt's house and partying on the porch and going to your neighbor's Halloween party.
Amanda, who was on our show, she MUA. And her hubby, Ricky, throw an amazing party every year, so we'll be hitting that up, I'm sure.
Yeah, and I just love, you know, pumpkin bread. That's good. I love pumpkin beers.
I like going to the pumpkin patch and getting candy corn and whatnot. Not candy corn, kettle corn.
I actually do love candy corn.
I do, too.
Like, why does it receive so much hate?
And it's so pretty. That's why I like it, because it's so cute.
I've never thought it was really that tasty.
It's okay.
I like it. I like the OG one, though. I don't like the brown one that's more chocolatey or whatever. Like, I don't like that.
Same. Yeah, you're...
Yeah, and you mentioned a pumpkin. Usually, Liz and I will carve a pumpkin for Halloween, and... One year, we decided to put the seeds in our oven.
I did that, too.
And that was a disaster because we accidentally spilled them in the kitchen. And we found, while we were moving out.
For years, we found more.
We kept finding pumpkin seeds everywhere.
And I was so pissed because we, like, painstakingly dug, like, every seed out. Like, I was so excited. We put, like, a wonderful blend of spices on there.
How did you drop it?
When we went to, like, stir the tray, you know, so they wouldn't burn, it just, like, slipped out of one of our hands. I can't remember who, but it fell everywhere.
So
it was probably me.
Yeah, I would say
it was not worth the effort to do that.
Well, yeah, never again. You live, you learn. Just buy the fucking pumpkin seeds.
Yeah. Trader Joe's.
Also, we like watching, of course, scary movies. And speaking of... Side note, have a recommendation for a scary movie for everyone. This is a new one, which usually I only like
older. Oh my God.
Like, I love 70s and 80s.
It
me too.
It was stuff, amazing.
Ooh, I'm
it
excited.
Was. It's called Late Night with the Devil.
Yeah, that's it.
And it's streaming
on Amazon.
On Amazon.
And also,
is it actually scary?
It is. Ooh. It's really good. It's set back in like the 70s. And it's a like late night talk show. And this guy is like obsessed with success, of course. And the ratings are going down. He always like comes in second to Johnny Carson. And it goes from there.
Yeah. So on one of his highest rated episodes, he actually brought his dying wife who had cancer onto the show.
Yeah.
And he got really pissed off because he was still second over who was it?
Johnny Carson, on the Tonight Show.
And so he was trying to do everything just to get in the number one spot. And, you know, he didn't really have that success.
Okay, I can see where this is going.
Yeah.
Another one of my favorite traditions too in Richmond is to go to the Bird and see The Exorcist.
Ooh, yeah.
That's really fun to do.
That's a great movie.
And it's really funny, like all the people that show up because it's packed. So like everyone's laughing at the when she like pees on the floor. Everyone laughs. Oh, and then Nightmare on Elm Street too at the Bird Theater.
Ooh, that's fun. That's a good one.
So listeners out there, we watched Exorcist 2.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And how would you rate that movie?
I didn't like it. I thought it was not good.
Didn't we turn it off? Or was it
no, we watched the whole movie.
Oh, we did. That's how bad I've, like, blocked it from my mind. I would
give it a 3, 4.
3 out of 10.
Yeah.
It's certifiably rotten.
I mean, it was what it was. I didn't really hate it. I didn't dislike it. It was just, you know, your
blah.
Yeah, standard horror movie.
What is your favorite horror movie, guys? If you had to pick one.
That's a really tough question. The Exorcist is the scariest, in my opinion, but I don't think it's my favorite. I love the first Insidious. That scared me. And I don't get scared usually. Like, it takes a lot these days.
Yep. I liked all the Insidious ones, really. Even, like, the spinoff, like, what is it, Annabelle?
Oh, yeah.
And I, from, like, the OG ones, my favorite, I could watch Halloween.
Ooh.
Actually, like,
yeah, Halloween's great.
I love Friday the 13th.
Yeah,
those
good.
Ones are fun.
So I always like that movie Event Horizon. Liz does not like
Insidious is not related to Annabelle. That's the
my bad. I always get
it's
it
a
mixed
house.
Up.
The it's not the Annabelle horror, it's the other one about a haunted house and a family in the country.
And there's like a billion.
Wait, what's the one then where he like does astral projection?
That's Insidious.
Okay, that's
yeah.
what I
Yeah, that's
I like
a great
that.
Movie.
Maybe it's just one of the same actors as in Annabelle or something. I don't know.
I like Annabelle.
So Liz and I, we usually like to watch the horror movies where they're set in the 80s and girls usually happen to expose themselves by accident.
Yeah, it's spit like on your grave. That one's horrible.
Like someone's like, there's a woman like cutting the grass and somehow she's naked. Like all of a sudden.
This one is my favorite. The Texas Chainsaw Massacre, but the original.
Ooh.
Oh,
that was a one with the boobs.
We were actually talking about this at work. My coworker, she was like, did you realize that that is based on Ed Gein, who is like one of the first serial killers? I didn't know that, but he was the basis for Leatherface, but also Norman Bates from Psycho and like a couple other movies.
Damn. Oh.
This was like a real person because he... When they finally caught him, he had like jars of body parts and he did a bunch of stuff with skin, including he made a belt fashioned out of nipples.
Out of nipples?
Yes, human nipples. They found that when he got arrested.
Whoa.
So this kind of reminds me of Silence of the Lambs where...
Oh, that was another inspiration. This guy inspired that.
And it was filmed in Richmond. Parts of it were.
Whoa.
And, you know, our favorite line is where this guy, the serial killer, lowers a basket with lotion to this...
it puts the lotion on its
to
skin.
To a prisoner in his basement. And yeah, he says, it puts the lotion on its skin.
Scary. That way he can make his skin suit.
Yeah, his skin suit.
So what is everyone dressing up as? Are you dressing up as a nipple?
A buttery nipple.
Like, how would you do that? Would you just be a giant boob or?
No, I'm just kidding.
Well, we're dressing up twice. So for your birthday, I think I'm going to be like a cowgirl because then I don't have to spend any more money because I can wear, depending on how cold it is, I can wear jeans or my cutoffs. And then I'm going to just like wear like a cute little white tank top and a tie, like a plaid shirt.
That'll be cute.
And I have like my
you
cowboy boots. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. What about you for your birthday?
I thought about doing Sailor Moon again just because my birthday is going to be on a boat, the party.
On a boat.
But also I thought about asking you again to borrow your old dirndl.
Oh, yeah.
I'm asking you on air so you can't say no. I'm just kidding. And then for Halloween, I might be Britney Spears, Hit Me Baby One More Time, but it just doesn't. I mean, it just looks... It doesn't stand out, so I'm not sure if I want to wear it. I like to wear costumes that really pop.
You should do Brittany from...
Oops, I Did It Again. The red
cute.
Jumpsuit.
Yeah. That would be cute. Or from Toxic when she's wearing that stewardess outfit. I love.
Me too.
Baby, what you gonna be?
I don't know. I might be a sexy cop or a construction worker.
Oh, yeah. We talked about construction worker. And then for Halloween, we're doing, we always try to do a little couple or trio.
Yeah, I know, trio last year.
You dumped us now. But anyway.
We can be a quadruple. Like
a foursome.
What do they call it in polyamory, that show?
A pod.
Yes, yeah, a pod.
Just kidding.
My parents are like, we wouldn't put it past you. No.
My parents would.
I think we're going to do, Matt's either going to be the Riddler or the Joker or Batman.
All good characters.
Yes. In that realm. And then I'm going to be Catwoman.
That'll be sexy.
A sexy Catwoman.
Yes.
Sexy.
That goes without saying.
All right. I have a spooky Richmond tale.
Ooh.
All right, let's hear
Do
it.
Tell.
Has anyone heard of the Richmond vampire?
I have.
Cool. Well, they're all the vampire is also called the Hollywood vampire. It is an urban legend from Richmond, Virginia. Local residents claim that the mausoleum of W.W. Poole, dated 1913, in Hollywood Cemetery, holds the remains of a vampire. And people truly believe this. Supposedly, Poole was run out of England in the 19th century from being a vampire. Oral legends to this effect were circulating by the 1960s. They may be influenced by the architecture of the tomb, which has been both ancient Egyptian elements and double W's looking like fangs. Because this cemetery is adjacent to Virginia Commonwealth University, the story became popular among students, especially from the 1980s onward. It was first mentioned in print in the student newspaper Commonwealth Times in 1976.
Oh, I was like, I don't remember that. I wasn't there.
You were not alive. Since 2001, the vampire story has been combined with the collapse of the Chesapeake and Ohio Railroad Churchill Tunnel under Churchill, a neighborhood of eastern Richmond, Virginia, which buried several workers on Friday, October 2nd, 1925.
We're on top of that hill right now, by the way.
Yeah.
Recording this.
Don't everyone be careful.
I've been to the entrance of the tunnel.
We gotta go again. This part of the story showed up online in 2001 and was first reported in print in 2007 in Haunted Richmond, The Shadows of Shaco. Mm. According to this newer story, the tunneling awakened an ancient evil that lived under Church Hill and brought the tunnel crashing down on the workers. Ooh. Rescue teams found an unearthly blood-covered creature with jagged teeth and skin hanging from its muscular body. He sounds kind of hot.
Pretty
crouching over
nipple belt.
Crouching over one of the victims. The creature escaped from the cave and raced towards the James River. Pursued by a group of men, the creature took refuge in Hollywood Cemetery, 2.2 miles away, where it disappeared in the mausoleum built into a hillside bearing the name of W.W. Poole. I like that story the most. Okay. According to Gregory Maitland, an urban legend and folklore researcher with the paranormal research groups Night Shift and the Virginia Ghost and Haunting Research Society, the creature that escaped the tunnel collapse was actually the 28-year-old railroad fireman Benjamin F. Mosby. He died in 1925, who had been shoveling coal into the firebox of a steam locomotive of a work train with no shirt on when the cave-in occurred and the boiler ruptured. Mosby's upper body was horribly scalded and several of his teeth were broken before he made his way through the opening of the tunnel. Witnesses reported that he was in shock and layers of his skin were hanging from his body.
Ooh.
He died later at Grace Hospital and was buried in Hollywood Cemetery.
Dang.
Contemporary written records do not include any of these alleged details. Mosby's obituary simply says that he was fatally scalded when the C&O tunnel under Jefferson Park caved in, and he died Friday night at 11:40 o'clock at Grace Hospital. Creepy.
Mm, that's spooky.
No matter how you swing it, it's creepy.
That's wild.
And now a poem.
Yes, a dramatic reading of a poem.
So this is a poem by Edgar Allan Poe, and which one is it, Liz?
The Raven.
The Raven. All right. Once upon a midnight dreary, while I pondered weak and weary over many a quaint and curious volume of forgotten lore, while I nodded nearly napping, suddenly there came a tapping, as of someone gently rapping at my chamber door. Quote, "'Tis some visitor," I muttered, "'tapping at my chamber door, only this and nothing more."
Ah, distinctly I remember, it was in the bleak December, and each separate dying ember wrought its ghost upon the floor. Eagerly I wished the morrow, vainly I sought to borrow from my books surcease of sorrow, sorrow for the lost Lenore, for the rare and radiant maiden whom the angels named Lenore, nameless here forevermore.
In the silken, sad, uncertain rustling of each purple curtain filled me with fantastic terrors never felt before, so that now, to still the beating of my heart, I stood repeating, "'Tis some visitor entreating entrance at my chamber door, some late visitor entreating entrance at my chamber door. This is it, and nothing more."
Presently my soul grew stronger, hesitating then no longer. "Sir," said I, "or madam, truly your forgiveness I implore, but the fact, as I was napping, and so gently you came rapping, and so faintly you came tapping, tapping at my chamber door, that I scarce was sure I heard you. Here I opened wide the door. Darkness there, and nothing more."
Deep into that darkness peering, long I stood there wondering, fearing, doubting, dreaming dreams no mortal ever dared to dream before. But the silence was unbroken, and the stillness gave no token, and the only word there spoken was the whispered word, "Lenore?" This I whispered, and an echo murmured back the word, "Lenore!" Merely this and nothing more.
Back into the chamber turning, all my soul within me burning, soon again I heard a tapping somewhere louder than before. "Surely," said I, "surely that is something at my window lattice. Let me see then what threat is, and this mystery explore. Let my heart be still a moment, and this mystery explore. 'Tis the wind, and nothing more."
Open here I flung the shutter, when, with many a flirt and flutter, in there stepped a stately raven of the saintly days of yore. Not the least obeisance made he, not a minute stopped or stayed he, but with mine of lord or lady perched above my chamber door, perched upon a bust of Pallas just above my chamber door, perched and sat and nothing more.
Then this ebony bird beguiling my sad fancy into smiling by the grave and stern decorum of the countenance it wore. "Though my crest be shorn and shaven thou," I said, "art sure no craven, ghastly, grim, and ancient raven wandering from the nightly shore. Tell me why, what thy lordly name is on the night's Plutonian shore?" Quoth the raven, "Nevermore."
Much I marveled this ungainly fowl to hear discourse so plainly, though its answer little meaning, little relevancy bore. For we cannot help agreeing that no living human being ever yet was blessed with seeing bird above his chamber door, bird or beast upon the sculpted beast bust above his chamber door with such name as Nevermore.
But the raven, sitting lonely on the placid bust, spoke only that one word, as if his soul in that one word he did outpour. nothing farther than he uttered, not a feather than he fluttered, till I scarcely more than muttered, other friends have flown before, on the morrow he will leave me, as my hopes have flown before. Then the bird said, nevermore.
Startled at the stillness broken by replies so aptly spoken, doubtless, said I, what it utters is its only stock in store, caught from some unhappy master whom unmerciful disaster followed fast and followed faster till his songs one burden bore, till the dirges of his hope that melancholy burden bore of never, nevermore.
But the raven, still beguiling all my fancy into smiling, straight I wheeled a cushioned seat in front of bird and bustin' door. Then upon the velvet sinking, I betook myself to linking fancy unto fancy, thinking with this ominous bird of yore, what this grim, ungainly, ghastly, gaunt, and ominous bird of yore meant in croaking, nevermore.
This I sat engaged in guessing, but no syllable expressing to the fowl whose fiery eyes now burned into my bosom's core. This and more I sat divining, with my head at ease reclining on the cushion's velvet lining that the lamplight gloated o'er. But whose velvet violet lining with the lamplight gloating o'er, she shall press, ah, nevermore.
Then, methought, the air grew denser, perfumed from an unseen censer swung by seraphim whose footfalls tinked on the tufted floor. Wretch, I cried, thy God hath lent thee. By these angels he hath sent thee respite, respite, and nepenthe from thy memories of Lenore. Quaff, oh, quaff this kind nepenthe, and forget this lost Lenore. Quoth the raven, nevermore.
Prophet, said I, thing of evil, prophet still, if bird or devil, whether tempter sent or whether tempest tossed thee here ashore, desolate yet all undaunted, on this desert land enchanted, on his home by horror haunted, tell me truly, I implore, is there balm in Gilead? Tell me, I implore, quoth the raven, nevermore.
Prophet, said I, thing of evil, prophet still, if bird or devil, by that heaven that bends above us, by that God we both adore, tell this soul in sorrow laden, if within the distant Eden it shall clasp a sainted maiden whom the angels name Lenore, clasp a rare and radiant maiden whom the angels name Lenore. Quoth the raven, nevermore.
Be that word our sign of parting, bird or fiend, I shrieked, upstarting, get thee back into the tempest and the night's Plutonian shore. Leave no black plume as a token of that lie thou soul have spoken. Leave my loneliness unbroken. Quit the bust above my door. Take thy beak from out my heart and take thy form from off my door, quoth the raven, nevermore.
And the raven, never flitting, still in sitting, still is sitting on the pallid bust of Pallas, just above my chamber door. And his eyes have all the seeming of a demon's that is dreaming, and the lamplight o'er him streaming throws his shadow on the floor. And my soul from out that shadow that lies floating on the floor shall be lifted nevermore.
All right.
Thank you. Wonderful. Thank you. I felt like it was like the night before Christmas, but it was Halloween.
What can we say? All right, well, I think that brings us to the time of Drop It On Us,
Big Raven, Nevermore.
All right, guys, and like I mentioned at the beginning of the episode, it's going to be The Real Crime of Richmond, installment number one. And so this has to do with the 2006 Spree murders. And so a little bit of backstory, the murders took place during a 7-day period in January in Woodland Heights off of Forest Hill, and it also took place in Chesterfield. The perpetrators were Ricky Javon Gray, his nephew Ray Joseph Dandridge, and also Gray's girlfriend Ashley Baskerville, who assisted the pair as an accomplice until she became one of the victims as well. So that's kind of a twist of fate there.
Mm-hmm.
And so the Harvey family, on January 1st, which it happened in broad daylight on New Year's Day, the bodies of Catherine, Brian, Stella, and Ruby Harvey were found dead in the basement of their burning house in Woodland Heights. Neighbors noticed smoke coming from the house and called 911. Catherine Harvey, who was 39, was the co-owner of the World of Murph toy store in Carytown.
Talking about this yesterday.
And her husband, who was 49, was the lead singer of the band House of Freaks, which was a two-person band. And so the two daughters were Stella and Ruby, who were ages 9 and 4. And so what happened, the perpetrators entered the house during the day looking for items to steal and bound Catherine, Brian, and Ruby in their basement with packing tape. As the home invasion was occurring, Stella, the younger daughter, arrived home from a friend's house. And Gray briefly unbound Catherine so she could retrieve Stella from the upstairs. And so that was just bad timing on whoever dropped her off.
Well, yeah, because we were watching a show, and I mean, I've heard it since living here all the time, but they went up to the door, and she kind of like tried to like silently signal with her eyes, but like the lady didn't pick up on it, so she didn't want the other child to get murdered. So the other one was asking to come in, the other kid, like the other child.
That sounds right.
Wow, yeah, and then she was like, no, sorry, we have stuff to do, you guys leave, please.
Yeah, and so the
I'm about to be murdered, we're gonna run.
Yeah, so they were inside doing all this horrible stuff while the neighbors dropped off her kid. And so the family of four had been bound with electrical cord and tape and beaten with a claw hammer and had their throat slit.
Even the children?
Yeah, everybody.
Jesus.
They were left in the basement.
I heard about this like last year. Forgot it was Richmond.
And so Gray and Dandridge, the perpetrators, tipped over an art easel in the family's basement, and they poured wine over the top of it and lit the easel on fire in an attempt to destroy the crime scene. But anyone who watches Forensic Files will know you can't get away with that shit.
Hail to that now.
You're going to find the dental records. I don't know.
Yeah. And so after this incident, there was a home invasion in Chesterfield, which was tied into this. And this happened on January 3rd, 2006. A couple living on Hollywood Drive in Chesterfield County, Virginia, were robbed by Gray, Dandridge, and Baskerville, who had gained entry to their house by pretending to ask for directions. So people out there, if somebody just comes up to your house just saying, I don't know where that is.
I don't answer the door ever, really, unless it's someone I know. So
yeah, we have our Nest camera. And so the robbers stole several items, including a computer and a television, as well as $800 in cash. So I would say that was a low profit robbery.
That's what's so crazy, because they didn't even get that much shit, and like so many people died.
Yeah, and so the third incident happened to the Baskerville Tucker family. And that happened on January 6, 2006. The police received a call from a Chesterfield resident who were concerned about her daughter's friend, 21-year-old Ashley Baskerville, who was the accomplice. The caller had Gray and Dandridge as former house guests. The police found items at the Chesterfield home linked to the Harvey case. And then the police stormed the Baskerville Tucker house on East Broad Rock Road. They found Ashley, the accomplice, her stepfather, and mother dead, gagged and bound with tape in their ransacked house. That was the last of the three incidents. And on the morning of January 7, 2006, Gray and Dandridge were arrested in Philadelphia, where Dandridge's father, Ronald Wilson, lived. Approximately 1 hour after the arrest, Dandridge confessed to killing the Tuckers and Ashley Baskerville in a detailed 3-page confession in which he described using a kitchen knife and claw hammer to kill the Harveys, stating, "I don't believe sorry is strong enough. None of this was necessary," which is infuriating. And Gray and Dandridge testified that Baskerville had posed as a victim and allowed herself to be bound as part of the plan to rob her mother and stepfather. And, quote, things just went wrong. And Gray, quote, got tired of the girl, so he decided to kill her and take her parents' car. On February 9th, 2006, Gray was charged with 5 counts of capital murder in the Harvey killings, 1 charge for killing more than once in a 3-year period, 1 charge for committing more than one killing in a single act, 1 charge for killing in commission of a robbery, and 2 charges for killing a child under 14 years of age. On the same day, Dandridge was charged with 3 counts of capital murder in the Tucker Baskerville killings. The 3rd count was later amended to include Dandridge's role in the Harvey killings. Dandridge received a life sentence in prison without parole. Gray was executed on January 18, 2017 at Greensville Correctional Center. Dandridge is currently incarcerated in the Sussex II State Prison. The city of Richmond dedicated a footbridge in Forest Hill to the memory of the Harvey family on September 19, 2010, naming it the Harvey Family Memorial Bridge. The alternative country group, the Drive-By Truckers, have you heard of them?
Yeah.
They dedicated the song Two Daughters and a Beautiful Wife from their 2008 album, Brighter Than Creation's Dark, to the Harvey family, which is, you know, quite a dedication.
It was a big story. I mean, because they were very well known in Richmond, like the family.
Yeah, we watched a whole documentary on it, and it was kind of creepy, like seeing the everyday things we pass by on Forest Hill, their house. You can still drive by the house. It's still there.
Yeah. Really creepy.
Yeah, so that concludes our first installment of Richmond True Crime.
Yay.
Hooray. Let's lighten up the mood, shall we?
Yes, let's talk about some events.
Cool. I'll go first. Okay. So, join the Fright Night Halloween Bar Crawl on October 25th. Get ready for the ultimate Halloween Bar Crawl experience in Richmond. Gather your friends and dive into the Friday Night Halloween Bar Crawl. I keep saying it over and over again. This thrilling event promises a night filled with spooky surprises and haunting fun. And alcohol.
Yeah.
Explore the best bars and enjoy exclusive Halloween specials at each location. And whether you're a local or just in town for the season, the bar crawl is perfect, a perfect way to celebrate the nightlife and Halloween. And where is this taking place, you ask?
Yes.
It's going to start at Three Monkeys Bar and Grill.
Ooh, Three Monkeys.
What day is this again?
October 25th, and it starts at 5 p.m. And what is included with your bar crawl ticket? I'll tell you, over 4 venues, but that it'll be fun though.
4 venues.
Yeah, over 4, so 5.
Wow.
Free entry into the best bars, pub crawls, wristband, detailed custom digital pub crawl map, ooh, generously low drink specials, meaning price, I'm assuming, tasty holiday themed drinks, select food specials, hundreds of friends to crawl with, and a $2,000 prize value social media costume contest. Look out for features on their social media, and I think you just follow Three Monkeys for all this.
So
to learn more.
Does it say where it goes?
I think it's just up and down that street.
Oh, okay, but, like Main Street.
I mean, I guess you'll figure it out when you get there.
Down on Main Street.
Richmond Ghost welcomes you to a tour of the haunted past of the capital city of Virginia, the Confederate capital during the Civil War, and the second biggest slave market in the United States. Richmond has a fascinating past and some horrifying ghost stories. The knowledgeable local guides of Richmond Ghosts take you on an adventure around Shaco Bottom and Church Hill to 8 or 12 locations over an hour or 60 minutes of gentle, accessible walking. So if you're on crutches or in a wheelchair, you can still go.
I'm like, I don't know, in Church Hill.
It might be hard, but you can still go.
Or if you have a Segway.
Gentle, accessible. We encourage the guest to stay alert during the walking tour, as you never know when there might be a ghost sighting. Our historical ghost tour, not ours, but
theirs.
Yeah, theirs. Is created to be scary and creepy, but is still family-friendly and suitable for all ages. Let us bring history to life through death. Kids will be talking about this exciting tour for years to come. The tour starts and ends at the 17th Street Farmers Market, which is between Franklin and Main Street.
Main Street.
At 17th. Your guide will be waiting by the big bell in a loop in the middle of the market area. The 17th Street Farmers Market between Franklin and Main Street at 17th. One of my favorite things to do during Halloween is to visit the Halloween Haunt at King's Dominion. It's super fun. It has select nights, September 20th through November 3rd, 2024. Stay and play all day and night. Brace yourself for a screaming good time at King's Dominion's Halloween Haunt, Virginia's best Halloween event. Everything in your deepest, darkest fears is right there. And you also get to ride all the rides, too, which is super fun in the dark and cool because it's all decorated for Halloween. So it's like a creepy carnival vibe. And I love it. I love riding roller coasters in the dark. It's fun. So, yeah, you should go to that. And tickets are $49.99 for a regular pass. And if you want to skip the lines, you pay $70 for a pass. And if you want season tickets, a gold pass, it's $97, which if you love Halloween that much and you're going to go a lot, I think it's worth it.
Yeah, if you go to King's Dominion even more than one time, that pass, the season's pass, pays for itself.
Yeah. And that's all I got.
Sweet. I have several myself. This is a classic. Matt and I went there on, like, the first year we were dating. We went to the Ashland Berry Farm. You can, like, do just, you know, getting your pumpkin and stuff, but the real meat of it is doing the terror on the farm. Ashland Berry Farm brings you a spine-chilling experience. Like never before. This year they have four haunts. It's out in Hanover, obviously, in Ashland. So this year they have Booger Woods, which I feel like they've had for forever. Booger Woods, that's the classic.
I wonder why they call it that.
Booger Woods. And then Reaper's Revenge 3D. Never done that before. That must be new. And it must sounds be fun. Like... maybe seated, I don't know, like a movie.
Or like you wear 3D glasses and like the things you when you walk around pop out.
Oh yeah, that's true. Clown Rehab, I would not want to do that one. I hate clowns.
That sounds horrible.
We're doing it.
They tried to make me go to rehab. I said no, no, no. And then Phobia Manor. So you have four to choose from, or you could do all of that. After you've gone through and seen all the haunts, you can gather around the bonfire pits to keep the adrenaline going. And, of course, they have their delicious donuts, hand-cut fries, and more to fuel you.
Well, I think I'll be fueled from Booger Woods.
Like I said, though, they do have family, more family-friendly, less scary stuff, especially during the day. They have, like, pumpkin picking. You can go for a hayride. So for tickets, you can go ahead and purchase them. The event runs from October 4th to November 2nd, but it's like only on Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and then some select Thursdays. It's from 7 to 10 PM. You can, buy the day of, I'm sure. Ticket sales start at 6:30 each day. And let me see what were the prices. So for the fast pass, where you skip the lines, I guess that's the big thing now, skipping the lines, is Friday and Sundays are $10, Saturdays are $15. If you want to be a VIP, it's $20 for Friday and $25 on Saturday. I guess Sunday you cannot be VIP. all ticket sales are final, please. Beach. Sirs and madams. And then we have another like fun little scare tour thing, Creepy Hollow Scream Park. I think that's the one that we did a couple years ago.
I love that one.
And I have a sign that says, I peed my pants. And I
and Matt was like holding I Love Zombies.
Uh-huh. Yep. That's, it's Richmond's ultimate Halloween destination with more monsters, more frights, and more fun than anywhere else. They have live actors. They have actual monsters, according to this.
Boogers.
Amazing illusions. And it is very large, like acres of screams.
That's what she said.
They're located just 10 minutes from Short Pump, near my mama's house. So you can go onto their website and see there's so many different things you can buy, buying options. I think it's best if you just search for the Creepy Hollow Scream, go to their webpage, and figure out what you want to do from there. Now, this is something, I guess they do this every year, but I'd never heard of it. There's a theme tonight, Edgar Allan Poe. So there's this place, it's called Fancy Me Mad. It's Graveyard Tales and Edgar Allan Poe. It's on October 21st, and it's at, right down the street here, Historic St. John's Church in Church Hill. Gates open at 5:45. However, you will need to inquire about tickets at this point because they've actually closed online sales. It was so popular. They do have some tickets left, though. And that phone number, get your pen out and your paper. It's 804-648-5015. Once again, that's 804-648-5015. And then finally, I had never seen this before, but it sounds like a lot of fun. Kind of like what your birthday might be like. The Erie Canal Halloween Cruises.
No way!
Explore Richmond's fascinating history this month with the Erie Canal Boat Tours. Journey through the city's mysterious
past. That's hilarious they're calling it Erie Canal, by the way, because I'm from where the actual Erie Canal is. So that's pretty fun.
What does it say? Oh. Journey through the city's mysterious past on a narrated boat tour uncovering ghostly tales and hidden secrets along the historic canal waterways. Little ghouls and ghosts in attendance will also receive a special candy treat.
Candy!
It is perfect for the whole family, however, only if the whole family has kids age 7 and over. and they're offering it just for a short amount of time. It's from Friday, October 25th through Sunday, October 27th. They have the special 20-minute tours that leave every half hour on the hour and half hour. And that goes from 5 to 9 p.m. all three of those evenings. And the boats leave from the Canal Walk's turning basin at 139 Virginia Street. The theme is Edgar Allan Poe, as I mentioned, nightmares. Guests will be plunged into the gothic and macabre mind of Edgar Allan Poe, as you've heard from my dramatic reading, how depraved he is. The tours will feature decor and vignettes from Poe's most famous works, such as The Raven.
The Raven?
Nevermore!
That's it. The Cask of the Amontillado. The Pit and the Pendulum.
Mm, those are all good ones.
Many more. Nevermore. Along with, there'll be costume guides narrating the stories. You'll be drifting through spooky sights and sounds of Richmond's oldest, most historically haunted Chaco District. So, tickets go on sale on October 1st. They're only sold online on a first-come, first-served basis. And that's all I know. So check it out. That sounds like a lot of fun.
One more event that we forgot to mention, but is so much fun to go to is Red Vein Haunted House.
Oh yeah.
They have like amazing actors. Like they're all I feel like they all are, but they're like actual theater people and they're scary. And you can sign up to do this VIP experience where they can touch you because you sign a waiver saying that they can't. They're not going to hurt you, but they'll like jump out and touch you. Not in a sexual manner.
Yeah, I was like, are they going to grab me?
Don't get excited.
Yeah,
if you want to get assaulted.
Yeah, go somewhere else.
That's assault, brother.
But yeah, it's fun. And they also, fair warning, they like put blood on you too if you sign the waiver. But it's really fun. It's not real blood.
It's like going to a GWAR show, yeah. Basically.
Yeah, it's super fun. And see a Gwar show, too. That's another cool thing to do in Richmond for Halloween.
Well, I think they're playing in November.
Yeah, but still, it's still Halloween-y. November's Halloween-y.
Yes. All of the fall. All right, that about wraps it up for the events. Moving on, we have our business of the week. Matt, what is that? Is that the honey-baked beet?
That is the honey-baked bee.
It's a small bakery with a twist of Gothic housed in the big city. It has a revolving menu of new items every day. It's located actually right down the street from us at 2824 East Broad Street. And they've been breaking out their fall stuff. Oh my God. We go ironically running by this place like
all the time.
3 to 4 times a week.
They have cinnamon buns that look amazing.
I've been craving one. Oh my God. But they also are breaking out like their fall stuff. They have like pumpkin bread right now. They just posted a picture the other day of a chai cake. Oh my God. The icing looks so good.
Yum. And so they're located at the former Anthony's on the Hill.
If yes.
You are familiar with that place.
I know. R.I.P.
That's some good pizza there.
Why are you me?
Rip Matt Dre. And then, of course, we have our band of the week, the Embalmers. They're a surf rock band. They play all the classics, including the Safaris, the Ventures, and Dick Dale. And many, many more. And they do not only the classic surf tunes, but they also do modern pop songs revamped for maximum twang.
Wipeout!
They say they typically perform at the Midnight Cult of Horrors and often breweries. That's where the beer is, of course. You can also hire them to perform at your festival or your occult ritual, maybe really? Even your funeral events.
Or your backyard.
That's right.
Or my divorce.
Yeah, divorce party. We've seen these guys play all over the city, like Kindred Spirit.
Yep, Kindred Spirit.
The Poe Museum, just to name a few. Coming back to Edgar Allan Poe. I must.
All things lead to Poe.
That's right. This band is comprised of many talented musicians. I know they switch out people all the time, so
we don't know
their
names.
Sorry, guys, we don't know, but we do know.
We do know Kevin.
Kevin Osborne, drummer extraordinaire.
Who was in our previous band.
Yes, yes.
Wonderful man. Yes. Vikings fan.
That's right.
Go Vikes.
So he'll be there. Catch them at Reveille. On Carey Street on actual Halloween at 8 p.m.
That'd be a really fun thing
to
do.
I know, I think we should do it.
Okay.
Tickets are only $20.
I'll ask my daddy.
So at the show, they usually have a go-go dancer, and they also have like a guy dressed as a mummy, too.
That's cute.
And yep. He'll just go around like dancing with people. It's actually a pretty fun experience.
And Reveille is a perfect Halloween venue.
Yep. And they're going to have two opening bands, and like the whole theme is going to obviously be like Halloween related. So
what night is Halloween on? What day of the week?
I think it's a Wednesday.
Okay, cool.
So that works out. But I think that about wraps it up for our spooky episode.
All right, who
have
we shouting
any
out?
Spooky shout outs?
I don't have any. I've already said everything that I had to say. So shout out to everything I already said. I'm too tired.
Maddie?
All right, I have some extra special shout outs. And this goes to Baltic's Bagels on Forest Hill. And so they're about to open in the former Go Bird spot. And it used to be a former McDonald's next to the Food Lion.
Oh, yeah.
And so...
we should go get bagels.
And so Baltics is a nod to the Baltic region because it's pretty controversial, I understand, where the origin of bagels occurred.
New York City. Yeah.
But he claims that they originated in the Polish-Lithuanian area. And the bagels are similar to New York bagels, and they offer house-made sodas.
Ooh, and I heard they're going to have a bunch of different types of schmear. I love a good nasty schmear.
Me as well.
And also wanted to shout out the new Toast location that's opening up on Arthur Ashe, close to Arthur Ashe Boulevard.
Oh, yeah. Like over where, near where the barbecue place used to be, Bill's Barbecue.
Yeah, and the new Tommy's Car Wash, the Raising Cane's chicken.
That's another thing to do, guys, for Halloween.
Oh,
Tommy's
yeah.
Car Wash does a Halloween-themed car wash. It's real. I've never done it, but I want to. I'm going to go with Frig.
Anyway, I wanted to talk more about Toast and say that they have a great happy hour. You can get, what, an old-fashioned for $5?
Yep.
Dang.
And a hot toddy in winter.
Yeah, they have like a whole collection of cocktails you can get, and beer and wine as well for happy hour. And they also have some really good sandwiches there.
And they usually, during oyster season, have oysters, and their fried oysters are the bomb. Uh-huh.
Their oysters are delicious. And who else we shouting out?
The Poe Museum, Hollywood Cemetery, Honey Baked Bee, of course. Edgar Allan Poe himself, who inspired this entire episode, hometown hero.
And his mother is buried at St. John's Church.
Oh, that's right. And shout out to Churchill for being such a spooktacular place to live. I love so my spooky. Neighborhood, yeah, y'all.
Our neighborhood is great.
Be safe out there, Halloweeners.
Don't drink and trick or treat, or do.
And make sure to follow us.
At?
Or else you're gonna die. At olala _RVA.
All right, and who can we look forward to on the next episode?
I want to keep it a surprise.
It's going to be a big one.
This is a big one. I don't want to jinx it, because when we say it, it never works out.
All right. So we don't want to get our listeners too excited.
But you should get excited.
It's very, very RBA related, and it might be music related. And that's the only hint you can.
We should have a countdown, like every day post like
a little hint.
A hint of which guest will be appearing.
Yeah.
But it's a big one, so listen to our next episode.
Woohoo!
All right, we'll be back for now.
Bye!
That's a wrap.
Peace.
Okay, bye.